Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston's Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. We're about to go around the NFL, as Mr. Big Voice Man just said, and we welcome in the homie. B. Scott from Hiram Clark. Brandon Scott, what's happening, man?
Man, I am glad to be with y'all. But look, we got to go back to this question the other day for a second, man.
All right.
And look, I'm sure that Adrian Wojnarowski is well-intended and trying to put on for his alma mater, and I can respect that. But the self-importance of this guy, like, seriously, man, let me auction off my phone. Let me auction off the things that I did to do my work, to do my job, which was just simply report on this, sometimes incremental, sometimes really big stories in the NBA. Like, are we serious? Like, let us all auction off the coolest thing, the thing that we used to do the coolest thing that we ever did. Mm-hmm. Like, seriously, man, get out of here.
I'm with you. It's pretty.
There is definitely, so like, I think he's well intended, but there's definitely some self importance going on here with Adrian Wojnarowski. Like, hey, the phone that I use to break news is so valuable and so cool that you're going to want to go out here and buy it. Even though it doesn't have the context or any of the context on it, you're just going to buy it because I used it to do this cool thing. Get out of here, man.
I disagree. Like, it doesn't seem like he's doing this to suit his ego. I think that he looked up, he was like, hey, man, we need money.
I think two things can be true. There's somebody that might and will pay for this, but also this is him suiting his ego and showing you how big his ego is.
I don't know, man. I think he looked the same Bonnie as
there's some,
like,
self-importance.
How can I? Like, how look, can we get some money for this program? We got it. Hey, who?
It is kind of you and almost sweet of you to look at it this way, to be quite honest with you, Reggie.
And by like, the way,
this is all just well-intended. Nah, man, this is a dude that is looking at himself as, like, super self-important.
There is an element of that. And by the way, like, the starting bids are like $350. Like, what? Okay, that'll get you a shoelace. That won't get you a player.
Well, yeah, but it goes screen self-importance.
But it does go to Reggie's point that somebody will buy this. Somebody will actually pay for
the
it.
The only way I would.
Because you attached it to a cause.
I don't know if I would buy it, but if I could get it on the cheap or whatever, I would use it. And it's like a conversation starter, like a nice phone. Yeah, this was Gene Wojnarowski. He broke the blah blah blah, like a conversation piece, like John Voight's car in Seinfeld. Old reference.
Was it John Voight's car in that episode?
Remember, he goes, "This is John Voight," and they misspelled it with a J-H.
Ah, that's right. I love that episode. What about the hot seat from Sports Radio 610 Radio Row? Yeah.
Oh boy. Yeah. Why didn't we think of that?
Yeah, we did.
Anyways, that actually would have been a great idea.
Yeah. We thought of it, but we didn't do it.
Well, I don't want to get into the particulars. Anyways,
me and Adam Spillane did the post game show from the 20 after the 2022 World Series. We should auction off the microphones that we used to do the show.
Who is the notable alumni from St. Bonaventure besides Adrian Wojnarowski?
I get it.
He's trying to raise money for his school. Man.
I get it. No, no, it's cool. It's cool.
In the NIL world, cool. And y'all on his ass about it. Unbelievable. I do though. I have been thinking about how did he make the decision that this phone that I had in this season, this is the story that I'm going to try and sell this one off of, right? Mm-hmm. Like of all the stories, because it's not just he's not changing this all the time.
What is the actual significance of the phone that Adrian Wojnarowski used to break the story?
Yeah, he's got to prove it.
Yeah, I got to see a picture or something.
Going to the Los Angeles Clippers.
Yeah.
Like, be for real.
See, now, that would actually be a lot more self-serving if he took pictures of him while he was breaking all these stories so that he could authenticate it.
If he did that, then I would understand somebody buying it. Because it's like, yo, this is the picture when he broke the Wimby news or something like that.
I'm not mad at him for putting on for his people, but he is pimping out fame for the cause.
Yeah, I
get it. Mm-hmm. I understand.
For charity.
I understand why he's doing it.
For the kids.
It's not charity.
It's for the kids.
Charity. It's for the kids, but it's not charity.
You know what I really wonder? Like, whenever he presents, because clearly he had to have come up with this idea.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
No one else was like, hey, you know what you should really do want? You still got that phone that you had from a couple years ago?
Someone's probably asked before.
Yeah, but he's the GM. He can do whatever the hell
Someone's
he
probably
wants.
Asked before. Yeah.
But that's what I'm, if somebody asked, that, like, what is the other side of this discussion?
Now,
like,
hey,
is
you it, should auction them.
Is it desperation? Like, yes. Hey, man, we ain't got no money, dog. You still got that phone? Or did he, like, come up with the idea and somebody say, okay, I think that could work. You know what I mean? Like, what was this idea born from?
Yeah. All right, speaking of where these ideas are born from, I know where this one was as we finally go around the NFL. My apologies. The NFL's competition committee has received a proposal from one of the teams in the league to try and ban what has been termed the tush push, sometimes talked about as the brotherly shove. And it kind of amazes me that we no longer just call it the quarterback sneak anymore, because that's what it actually is. Like, we've completely erased that from our lexicon, just calling it the tush push.
It rhymes.
It does.
We like to rhyme.
It does.
Just as a society. We like rhyming.
It was a thing before. Mm-hmm. It was a whole thing that we're like, nope, we're not calling it that anymore, tush push. We're talking about the booty shove now. And it seems like, according to Diana Russini, a very good reporter in her own right, I look forward to her auctioning off her cell phones at some point.
Yeah, man. I might be interested.
She said that it was the Green Bay Packers that were doing this level of hating on the tush push. Which side are you guys on? Are you on the Green Bay Packers side of we need to get this way? Or are you on the other side of it's a football play, deal with it?
Yeah, come on, man. Like, I think this is one of the lamer things that's out there. The reluctance or the hating on the tush push, wanting it out of the game, whether it's because it's an automatic play and you think it's boring or because you think it's unfair. I don't see a good argument against the tush push. I don't understand it. It is, like, so far within, like, you have to make a rule against it. So right now it's within the rules. Right now it is a fair and not a dirty play, but you're going to make a rule against it because it's what, successful? Because you don't like
that's
it?
That's exactly
like,
it.
That, to me, all of that is lame to me. Stop the tush push if you don't like it. Don't put them in these short yardage situations. Like, try to avoid that if you can. Like, there are ways around the tush push. It's just the fact that they have been really good on offense and been in position to utilize it.
This
so,
is
like,
the silliest,
to me, this is just hating.
It's the silliest thing that's making the rounds around the NFL. It's as simple as what Reggie said. Stop it. Can't stop it? Sorry. Now, you know, and a lot of coaches are talking right now at the NFL Combine doing their interviews. You'll hear from D'Amico Ryans around 12:40.
I think 1 is probably
1 p.m. We got Seth Payne at 12:40 today. And they're all saying, Raheem Morris, Falcons head coach, said, I'm definitely going to vote against it because you can't stop it. That's why it you get better.
Yeah.
Get better.
If I'm Philly. If I don't know if they play Green Bay this year, but I would use that every single
down.
Every single time.
Well, let me ask y'all this. What happened to it being a copycat league? What about that? Like, why not try to replicate it? Why not, when you say be better, not just try to stop it, but also try to build a team that is actually capable of doing it? Like, hey, you see this thing that works, that is an automatic short yardage play, whether it's
for one team,
whether it's the tush push or like obviously Josh Allen is his own thing, but mm-hmm. you've got this,
and that's the only other team that's probably been able to somewhat replicate this. And remember, that kind of got stopped.
He got stopped in the playoffs,
especially because they were predictable on he would slide to the left of that center, and teams like, oh, so hit the A gap right there.
I just don't get why it wouldn't be more of a new phenomenon than it would be something that we would try to outlaw. Like that to me goes against the tendency of the league and just like, you know, just, I don't know, just normal how things work. Like, I'm a hate on this thing because it's working. Come on now.
It wasn't that long ago that it was illegal to push a player from behind.
Actually, it's kind of long ago.
Is it longer than
20 years? 2005 is when they got rid of pushing the ball carrier the rule against pushing the ball carrier, I should say.
So are they going to eliminate that? Because if they do that, a lot of touchdowns, there's some really cool plays that we've seen.
That's basically what this is.
No, that's correct. All it is. That's exactly what it is. But there's been some really cool plays this year where some guard, like a running back's going for that extra yard and some guard gets behind it. And I think those are cool. Well, that's the exact same thing, but it's in the course of a play. Tush push is more, it's weird saying that, but anyway, it's more like planned and game planned and all that. So if you're going to do it, you're going to eliminate some of the most important things.
I think it's glad. Yeah. I'm glad that you said that it feels weird saying tush push because, I mean, you mentioned this, Reggie, how like it became like this name and phenomenon, this thing that rhymes that we stuck mm-hmm. with. But it is just a quarterback sneak.
Correct. Yeah.
Like we gave it a name and there's a team that is more so associated with the play that has a higher success rate with the play.
Yeah.
And so now it has like a brand. But all it is a quarterback sneak. And it's just a really damn good one. Quarterback sneak where you're pushing the guy, you know, this is a pretty damn good one.
Yeah.
But now that we've given it a name, given it a brand, there's been like this, you know, energy against it.
Like, I feel like I if they eliminate that tush push, they need to eliminate players assisting players forward.
I think that's the only way you can get rid of awful. It. Yeah, I think that's
which
the only
would
way
be
you can
awful.
Get rid of it. You think so?
Yes. There's some cool plays that happen like that.
I could banning the ability to push the ball carrier. I'm either way on that. I'm agnostic there. Mm-hmm. I can deal with the NFL without that. I did deal with the NFL without that, and of course I'm okay with it here. Really, I think the thing that people are mad at, and at least maybe should be mad at, and direct their energy towards, is damn, why is Howie Roseman so much better than me at this? Because that's the reason why this is.
Exactly.
It's because they have a particular offensive line that has the strength in order to do this. And mind you, they've done this for a period of time. Like they've switched out some of the parts and somebody able to do this. That's the thing that's mm-hmm. crazy to me about this. And yeah, I understand people are like it's pushing the quarterback. But again, that is a rule across the board, and other teams have not been able to replicate that to a strong degree because of what they have. Now, I think the one strong point, if you were against it, I think the one thing that is the strongest, and you guys correct me if you think I'm wrong, against this is just aesthetically it is not pleasing. And I think that to be fair for the league, you do need to be concerned about aesthetics because it's not just, it is a competition, but also it is a product.
Well, then why'd you change the kickoff?
I don't get that part either, though.
No. If your argument is aesthetics, why'd you change the kickoff? Because that's aesthetically a mess.
What is it? How is it I mean, it's like one or two to three, four plays in a game.
Yeah.
Like aesthetically, it's not pleasing.
Yeah, people not turning the TV off.
I don't get
whenever
they're
they see this.
They're just mad.
Yeah. Switching to music.
Yeah. They're switching to music because they can't do it themselves.
And honestly, just more generally speaking, I'm against rules that you can't explain.
Mm-hmm.
Like I understand that you need rules for a like fair and decent society, but I don't need rules that you can't really fully explain other than just, hey, I don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like you have to explain. You want to come in here and change the rules. You have to explain it, and no one's been able to really explain it to me.
Yeah,
not at all. Other than I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
or I can't do it.
Yeah, come up with a defense that can stop that,
or stop. Don't let them get into the short situations.
Yeah, yeah. It's a defense to stop everything, man. I'm sure they could come up with a defense that can stop this.
You would think.
Might find a way to not have a quarterback that squats 600 pounds. That's also part of this. All right. Some other things around the NFL, and this is going to be a two topic around the NFL, it seems like, because I imagine this was going to take a little while. The Washington Commandos, as I like to call them, actually the Washington Commanders, made note. They have granted permission to their defensive tackle, Jonathan Allen, to seek a trade. I said defensive tackle, so I imagine Texans fans mm-hmm. perked up. And, of course, I say that the people that are going to perk up have probably already seen this on social media when Jonathan Allen, a very good defensive tackle, is available. And it is a one-word question. Interested?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. I mean, why not? Why not? I mean, you need to figure out that position group, that area. Like, you had guys on one-year deals. Mm-hmm. You probably want to upgrade. Like, if there's an area on the defense that you would say, hey, you could be better, that's probably it. And that's with respect to the way that the guys performed last year. But you did have a crew and committee of guys. This would be somebody that would be better than anybody that you've had at that position in a really long time. I'd absolutely be interested. This would be a missing piece on what's already a really good defense.
And not crazy expensive as defensive tackles go, but expensive. So you almost have to pick your spot here. Like, where are you going to spend your money? As Reggie was talking about earlier, you know, are you going to spend your money? You know, we talked about the potential trade, you know, that that Aaron Schatz brought up, you know, for Garrett Wilson, which I think immediately fixes the entire wide receiver room. You can get by with the guys that you still have behind him, or, you know, Stephon Diggs, or John. You can't have them all. You know, you got to pick your spot.
Yeah, I think that's my I actually say no here.
Yeah,
I was in that Garrett Wilson situation. I'm like, yeah. And the thing that allowed me to get to the yes on Garrett Wilson is the 2 years of relative cost control that you would get in trading for him in year four of his contract and then the fifth year option. You don't have that for Jonathan Allen. Jonathan Allen is the dreaded double dip of payment, and he already costs a good amount on your salary cap. A salary cap, mind you, that yes, you're under the cap to start the league year, but you still need to do some adjusting because you have you have some extensions that you still need to get done. And you have to consider what this team is going to look like in the upcoming years as well. The Garrett Allen, same person. The Jonathan Allen portion of this, you're going to have to trade capital to get him, which one is sending away the opportunity to get more young cost control talent, which as you continue to pay more and more people on this roster, that's going to become more and more important. Mm-hmm. And then you'll also have to sign him to an extension, because I don't think you make this trade if you just go like, all right, let's see what you got for a year. Yeah. Like, I think that that's not a smart way of going about it. And I don't think that this team is in that place for the defensive line, particularly when you look at a year. Mm-hmm. You have been blessed by the football gods. There is defensive linemen up and down day one and day two that are going to be able to assist your team in a way that I think is helpful. At the very least, day one, if you are that invested in it this way, you can get a defensive lineman that is going to impact the game in some sort of fashion like Jonathan Allen. I think that that's a more cost-effective way and a better team-building, sustainable team-building way to handle it.
Yeah, I think it just depends on how much you believe that last part that you said is true. Because, I mean, I've heard that. I just don't know that for a fact, that there, all of this depth, that defensive tackle in the draft. Mm-hmm. They say that, and I can take their word for it.
If you just trust, the experts.
Yeah, but I do know that, if we're going by recent history, I do feel like if you draft well, you can more so find guys at wide receiver that can complement Nico Collins and say you can find a dude that's as good as Jonathan Allen.
Sure.
So I do feel like the draft is a better place to find some of the other needs that you have as a team. And where are you going to, like, again, going back to your last point, is that true? Can you find a Jonathan Allen in the draft? If you feel that way, then absolutely. Go get Garrett Wilson, find Jonathan Allen in the draft. But if you feel like you can more so get guys that can complement Nico Collins in the draft, then go get Jonathan Allen if you can get him.
Yeah.
Or you should at least talk about it. You should at least do what we're doing.
Yeah.
And I don't put it past this organization to talk about it. One thing I will say, when you get the reports from insiders that send this information out, I love hitting that quote tweet button and seeing the various different fan bases that are getting involved. And obviously also you'll see like people that cover those teams kind of talking about the possibilities of it. There's a lot of those out there on this one, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I do wonder, does that then also drive up the price and make this more exorbitant on the double pay? I think that that's also a consideration.
Yeah, you don't want to get out on your steez or over your steez on this.
No, absolutely not. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. That's around the NFL. But coming up next, we got B. Scott, so we need to get B. Scott's thoughts. We'll get into that next.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Howard Clark, Beast Guy.
Beast Guy from Hiram Clark. Beast Guy from Hiram Clark.
You hear it. Beast Guy from Hiram Clark in studio with us, as he always is on a Tuesday. We are in that 11 o'clock hour, so I will remind you, Rodeo Ticket Tuesday is active. Keep listening. Those four pack of tickets, rather, will be given away in this hour, so keep it locked. However, I don't want to waste any more time. B. Scott, what's on your mind?
So, last week I came in here trying to convince myself of this Jose Altuve in left field thing. Y'all remember that?
Yeah, how's it been going on that?
I'm good. I'm feeling okay about it. I think it's, for me, it might actually be a necessary evil. We talked about it last week. It might just be a thing that they have to do, but I'm living with it. This week, I'm coming in here trying to convince myself of Lance McCullers being an actual contributor to this baseball team.
All right.
You saw that he threw it.
Bless your heart.
Baseball guys made so that it was rained out yesterday that the Astros didn't play, but Lance McCullers did throw a bullpen, and it's the first time that I'm, allowing myself to try to think of ways that Lance could actually contribute to the team. Y'all might try to talk me down. Maybe this is me being a little bit too much pie in the sky.
Hey bro, I got the bridge. You want to buy it?
But look,
I got bridge for sale.
But so far, nothing about the Astros for the last 2 years, going on really year three now, up until this point, to us having this conversation right now, nothing about the Astros have I really factored much of Lance McCullers into the equation.
No one has.
And rightfully so. To the point now, even we've got a full 5-man rotation that does not include him. We've got a bullpen idea of what a bullpen might look like without him. And to be fair, he is somebody that views himself as a starter and has been a starter.
Mm-hmm.
So where does he fit into the equation if, in fact, he can pitch for you? I'm starting to allow myself to think about that, think along those terms, and then try to figure out what exactly does that look like.
I said bless your heart more for the bit. Because if we're all being honest, there's a part of us that we're like, could it really be this time? Could it really be this time?
Or, it seemed a little more real.
Not a big part. I still have my doubts, but I think it's human nature. I started the show, what's cool about this time of year in the Astros right now is there's the anticipation, that unknown. And I kick myself that there is a little part of me. I think I'm more on the other side than you are. I'm still like, okay, sure, we'll see. I doubt it. But there's a little part of me that's like, maybe.
It could even be maybe. What if he is good? Yeah. You know, like maybe not something that you're hanging your hat on, mm-hmm. because you do have that five-man rotation, because you haven't factored him into the equation in so long, you know, out of sight, out of mind. But if he is in sight, if he is around, what if he is good again? Then you're talking about, hey, you're six deep in your rotation, mm-hmm. and we know how important it is to have more starters the further you get along. And we do still feel like this is a team that can be competitive within its own division. We don't think the world of the division necessarily. Mm-hmm. That's not looking at the Astros as a World Series favorite, but certainly a team that could win its division the way it did last year,
yeah.
and ease its way or back its way into the playoffs, however it happens. So what does that look like after that? You've got a decent depth of starting pitching. You've invested quite a bit in closer, so you got the back end of your pitching kind of solidified. Like, to me, it's just something that is worth thinking about.
Mm-hmm. Oh no, I'm with you. Like, I have been in that place, and maybe you can say that I've not been as close to the Astros over this period of time where Lance has had these injuries to have been scalded by the hot stove and changed the way that I react to it, right? But I'm in that place as well, and it's partially because there's some of the tangible things. And if you'll allow me to try and up your dosage of hopium here, yeah, this is it. Joe Espada talking today about not just Lance McCullers, but also Luis Garcia through a bullpen. And obviously, we know when you're throwing, it's not about how you feel when you throw; it's about how you feel the next day.
Mm. McCullers threw 35 pitches, walked this morning, and woke up here this morning feeling good. So the next step for him will be a live BP. Luis Garcia threw like 20 something pitches, and he also walked in feeling pretty good.
A little bit of hopium.
And see, I hadn't even factored in Luis Garcia. Like, mm-hmm. we're talking about decent depth. It's a big thing with the Astros. It's been a big part of their identity. Like, if you would, the back end of their dynasty has in large part focused on pitching. And I would just say this, like, you know, kind of just going into these thoughts a little bit more, like, I think with the Astros' larger picture, we focused, or I'll speak for myself, I focused a lot on what they've lost and not as much on what they've brought in and what they do still have.
Mm-hmm.
And I know last year was a big disappointment. They backed their way into the postseason. They get swept by the Tigers. And it just looks like it's just uninspiring. It's the end of the dynasty. But they still have, I would say this. Worst teams in the Astros have made it to the World Series and even won the World Series. I would say that they're not a favorite because basically if you look at it big picture, something would have to go terribly wrong for the Dodgers not to win it. But if we're just focused on the American League, like, the Astros still have the ingredients to do this thing. They brought in Christian Walker. I haven't talked as much about that because we focus a lot, again, on what they've sent out. Brought in Isak Paredes, who is a really good hitter. Mm-hmm. Like, they have a decent lineup and depth at pitching that I think at least makes them interesting enough and compelling enough to be in the mix to still make some noise.
I'm more optimistic about Luis Garcia than Lance McCullers, but as I mentioned earlier, there's a little part of me is like, well, maybe what if? Here's where it gets dicey. Even if he comes back and he's healthy, 100% healthy, it's been 2.5 years. It will be 2.5 years since he pitched in the 2022 postseason. I don't know who can be.
Do we get the starting role back?
Well, I don't know who can be any semblance of what they were.
Yeah,
with a 2.5 year layoff. Like, what are your expectations? Is what I'm. They can't be very high.
No, they would have to be low.
Yeah,
that's why it's a more what if scenario, or mm-hmm. just kind of allowing yourself to go there, but not like, hey, we need Lance McCullers. Like, he's all, you know what? He's almost in Forrest Whitley territory.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, yeah, a guy, except, you know, we've never really seen Forrest Whitley, like, yeah. at a high level. Like, I know he was, you know, around a little bit last year. But, like, in some ways, it's like, hey, out of sight, out of mind, what if? And if he is, mm-hmm. it kind of changes the conversation a little bit. To me, it does. If Lance McCullers is good, or any semblance of good, if he's good enough to be a starter, what does that look like exactly?
Right,
and
exactly.
And if he's just good enough to be an extra piece to your bullpen, that is obviously valuable to you as well. Somebody mm-hmm. of his quality, of his pitch mix, that could perhaps give you length in the bullpen.
Sure.
Like, we're talking about, I mean, to me, we're talking about a bit of an X factor.
But, I mean, you've got, and you've talked, you mentioned it, right, the idea of the necessity of depth when it comes to a rotation over the course of an entire year, because it's not just, oh, we got our five and that's good. Look, man, it's a marathon, not a sprint. And one thing about a marathon is it'll break you down injury-wise. It's just not, it's in the modern iteration. I still also feel a lot more comfortable, and I know that you've said in 2 years he hasn't pitched. But he is a pitcher, and I say that not like in the most obvious sense of the his position as pitcher. But you have throwers and you have pitchers.
Right.
That's a dude who knows how to use his pitch mix and those types of things. I don't think that that's something that you just lose, particularly as he's saying that it feels like he has a little bit more of his velocity as he is working back. Like, I feel confident in the
idea. But it's more of an art, and that is something that you have to regain.
Sure, that is fair.
You know, that to me, it almost works the other way.
That is fair.
Like, if he would just regain strength and he was a fireballer, I'd almost feel better about that. You know, because, you know, the curveball is, I mean, it comes and goes over the course of a season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have three or four games where I didn't have my curveball. Couldn't, the grip felt funny or
sure,
whatever.
Sure.
See, it's an art with Lance McCullers. And by the way, he was only throwing, I'm falling guilty to all the people that are used to fireballers these days. Now.
He's like, throwing, if you're not throwing 98, you can't pitch on my team.
He was throwing 89 to 91. You know, if he has just a nick, just a click off on his stuff, I think it goes the other way.
Yeah, no, I think this is just, obviously, different ways of looking at it.
Sure.
It could be, oh, it's been 2 years. How do you regain that? Mm-hmm. Or is it, hey, man, it took 2 years for me to regain that.
Sure.
Like, maybe this is just how long it took for him to get right. You know, like this is just how bad it was, and now he's right. And again, it's the what if he is. You know, I think all of your concerns are the valid ones and the ones that make sense. Like, they're almost the obvious ones, because it's like, man, we haven't seen this guy. There's a reason why. But again, it could just be it took this long for him to get right. And again, we've all seen this up close and personal, right? When the Rangers won the World Series a couple of years ago, Reggie, you were in Dallas.
Correct.
And of course, they had to go through the Astros to get that done. So we saw that, all saw that up close and personal. Mm-hmm. The thing that they had going for them, they didn't have a good bullpen that year. The Rangers ended up having a depth of starting pitching that was able to compensate for that that season. And it was a big reason now they had a really good offense, but that was a big reason why they were able to make that work for them that year. I'm not saying that this is the 2023 Rangers or anything. I'm just saying that showed you the importance of having that depth of starters, not just simply having a bullpen.
Sure. And if you have the depth of starters, and if you have, especially with these ground ball pitchers, if you can figure out that you know, second base spot to where your infield is fielding pretty well, that helps you have your lineup together, and that's majority of what you need, right? You can probably make some things shake. Plus, then you had to remember the reminder that relief pitching is the easiest thing, relatively, to get and acquire at the trade deadline. Like, you would be in a place to be at least well-situated to do a little bit of something. Yes, I know, you smiling at me because this is all the hopium that I'm unleashing right now. But this is hope time. Yeah. If I can't hope in spring training, when can I hope?
Well, I will say, on the other side of hope, you mentioned second base. I've never been more curious about second base than I am now, maybe ever.
Yeah.
So
2011?
Yeah. It's been a long time.
And it doesn't look like Arenado's going to happen after all. So
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
What you see is what you get.
Right.
Yeah.
And I don't know what I'm seeing. I haven't seen much yet. I don't know what I'm seeing or getting here.
Speaking of seeing things, we'll get a little bit of a taste of what Seth Payne is seeing out there in West Palm Beach. Again, appreciation exclusive Furniture and Academy Sports and Outdoors for having them fine fellas out in West Palm Beach. We'll get a live update from what's happening out that way at 12:40. But coming up next, let's get into what's popping, which includes the clinching another one back to back. Brian, we'll do that next.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
Poppin' is that boys in studio, John Lopez, Reginald Atula, Figgy Fig, and of course, for this 1 hour only this week, Brandon Scott.
That's right.
We have just been continuing to chop up the various things with this Astros team. We are so in on baseball right now.
Yeah, I'm for it. I am here for it.
It is such an intriguing team. I'm so ready for, I mean, we're about, 20 minutes away from first pitch of them against the Mets. Renel Blanco on the mound. Like, that's one of the things that's popping. Excited to see what that looks like. And, of course, within that game, you have Christian Walker. So excited to just kind of see him in an Astros uniform and in the game. Paredes at third. You're gonna have Dubon at second, rather. and then Guillorme at shortstop. Two guys that are both possibilities for your second base spot consistently.
Yeah.
That's going to be fun. And then we'll see Chaz at the plate, like see if there's any level, like what's the starting point here for him. Like I'm just I'm interested in seeing all those things. Whitley will get going. I believe Wesneski, all those guys should come in. So all those things are going to be interesting to watch. But another thing that is popping and something that I want to give its due time, because it feels like, you know, some people can be a little upset at us on the show where it's like, yo, y'all not giving this U of H Cougars team enough time. If you were in a different place, they would be leading stuff off. So I do want to give us a big salute.
Here we toss some Cougs.
And this Cougs team, as last night, they went into the United Spirit Grocers building of sorts.
You know we're going to take your word for it.
That's not, as I'm sure you might guess, that's not actually the name. Yeah. However, they went into Lubbock, played against Texas Tech in a raucous crowd. Like they turned up for this game.
They get out.
And so they had a lot of people in there, and that did not matter. The University of Houston Cougars get a big-time win, 69-62. I almost said 61. 69-62. And this is important, one, because another win over a top 10 team in the nation. So that was great. But then also, it clinched a share of the Big 12 regular season championship. Back-to-back years, in fact, obviously. They did it last year. So the 2 years that they've been in, they have won a share and probably will win outright the Big 12 regular season championship. And it was on the backs of, on the back, rather, of Milos Uzan.
Yeah.
Took over in this game, a career-high 22 points. And in the post game, you know, the walk off interview, he says somebody had to make shots.
That like, was awesome.
It wasn't. And the funny thing is, I should have gotten the audio of it because it wasn't like braggadocious. It was just like, yo, when some we need somebody
turn.
To do it,
yeah.
I have to step up, and he did so.
Yeah, LJ Cryer didn't have it that night after having it the last couple of games that they've played, and that's the thing. We talk about this every time we mention them, but whether it's LJ Cryer, whether it's Uzan, whether it's Emmanuel Sharp. Yeah, and obviously their best player is Roberts. So, like, they've got these different options, these different guys that can either take over a game or if it's just a collection or committee of all of these guys that can give you 15, 20, 25, whatever it is that's necessary on that night to be, you know, the lead guy, they have that. So, yeah, and then to the point about the team, it is impressive, man. Like, what are the markings of a team that you feel like can be really good in the tournament? One that wins on the road.
Not only wins on the road, ranked. I mean, they went.
Right.
They
beat a good team on the road.
They beat KU when they were ranked.
KU.
Arizona when they were ranked.
And now Tech.
Tech when they're ranked.
Yeah.
I thought there was another one in there, but that's a dangerous, dangerous squad. They're going to be a number one seed.
I mean, those three right there, like Kansas earlier in the season, right?
A little fraudulent.
I know that's a fraudulent.
But they were ranked at the time.
At the time, I mean, they
were
12.
You're going to Fog Allen.
Just a little fraudulent. Sorry, I enjoy it. I get my jollies off of saying
But on the road, fraudulent.
Maybe K-State on the road?
They're not. Even Kansas, though. Like
that's very fraudulent.
To the point, like, Kansas is not a good Kansas team this year.
Yeah.
But beating Kansas on the road is still a thing.
Yes.
Like, going to Kansas and handling business is still a tough task, and they did that. And then, again, at the time, they were ranked. So, like, those are the markings of a good team. They've done that. And, again, 13 straight conference road wins. So, we're talking about a team that has consistently won on the road and has the offense to do the things that they haven't done historically, talking about U of H in that way.
Yeah,
so that's the impressive part.
It is worth noting, right, that 13 is a Big 12 record. So you've been in the Big 12 for 2 years, and you're like, actually, let me go ahead and write my name down on this.
And two Big 12 titles.
And this.
Or at least a share for now.
And up here, I'm going to write my name up here.
Yeah.
And yeah, no, they're doing a fantastic job. And yeah, I think when you talk about what does it take to win in the tournament, those road wins give you a little bit of an indication. This team does a great job. I mean, if you're just looking at like metrics, their net rating is such that you look at it along with the kind of pace that they play with. And they are amongst those teams that are of the class that you go, OK, they can win a title, especially because they now have that possibility of being able to go on runs, like the ability to go on a 10-0 run for this squad they have in their bag. And that's going to be necessary because like, hey, you could try and go into the tournament just being like, we're going to clamp everybody up and that's how we're going to win.
Yeah.
But you're going to face instances where you need to be able to get points quickly. And this is a team that's capable of doing that, even if they don't consistently do it all the time and score a whole bunch of points.
And they were able to build that without losing that other part of the identity that's important to what they do. Like, they still play. I've always said, it looks like they got six guys out there.
Yeah.
They got five. And they still play like that. On top of what you just said, Reggie, adding that other element to their game.
Now, one thing I will say, though, and another opportunity to salute Kelvin Sampson. It's kind of burned into my brain, and I one of the after one of those games where Milos Yuzan actually starts like hitting step back shots. During that game, Kelvin Sampson goes and he talks to Yuzan and he's like, look, you gotta go for it. Like, I want you to go out and take step back shots, which seems antithetical to anything that a college basketball coach would tell a player, right, at any era, but especially in this era. Like, yo, just get out here, start taking step back threes, man. But it was to instill that confidence so you get a game like this where Yuzan feels comfortable going, oh, it's going to be me tonight? All right, I'm that dude.
That's it.
Yeah.
And this is the confidence, and this is the sign of a elite coach.
And I think he's going to be key all the way down the rest of the way.
Yeah. I think that part that you just mentioned speaks more to how players are wired, like the difference in how players develop their game and the things that they do well now. Because coaches have always, I think, historically encouraged their best players to go out there and get it. Mm-hmm. I think what the bag looked like back in the day looked a lot different. Like now, players practice the step back three. Like what's in their bag is just different from what, you know, when Kelvin Sampson first started coaching, that's not what they were doing back then.
Yeah.
Now, like, what is it that you do? The Patrick Ewing meme. Do you practice that shot?
Right.
Yeah.
Like, what shot do you practice? And now that's the shot that these kids practice. So, hey, Yuzan, whatever it is that you do, go out there and do that. And now this is just like the things that they do.
I think the point that I was making there, though, and I apologize for not being clear, is like when you have a coach like Kelvin Sampson, that's like, hey, man, no, we are a defensive team. We're getting on the floor. We're an effort team. You don't expect that coach to go, the hell are you doing? Take that step back, dog.
Yeah.
Like that, but that is the, you know, the depth of what in him understanding his squad. I will say one thing, though, right? And, of course, it would be me to drop a little bit of negativity on the back of the love fest that we've given this University of Houston Cougars team. Texas Tech was doing a good job at attacking this this Houston Cougars defense and the way that they just throw bodies and they're energetic and they flood to the strong side of the basketball. Those skip passes and being able to knock down shots.
Yeah.
Texas Tech was doing that and they were giving this team a little bit of hell. Now, I just continue to wonder, are there teams around the nation that if they see Houston in the tournament would actually have the personnel and the execution to be able to do that to a way?
And are they going to have, and when they face those teams, are they going to have a week to prepare or a day?
Yeah.
Sure. Because that's the nature of the tournament. You know, you play whatever, your conference tournament, then you got a week for one team. Then if you win that one, you'll have a day. Yeah. You know, so it's a matter of like, how are these teams going to prepare to face Houston?
Yeah, not to be too negative, but I think the answer is yes. I do think that there are teams that are good enough. Like Tech was able to do what they did, to your point, last night without
they're missing a couple of guys
of their best players.
Yeah. That was the benefit that had this weekend, because people mentioned that they beat Iowa State. I think you guys were talking about ranked road wins, but that was a ranked home win against Iowa State.
Yeah.
Iowa State missing their two best scores.
Yeah.
Texas Tech missing their second and third best scores. So that was a little bit of good fortune on the behalf of the Cougars. So that is going to be something that we have to watch, is are they capable, if a team has all of their best scores, to also make sure that that team is not capable of picking at that particular weakness that they have.
Yeah, I mean, that's what makes it the madness of it all. There's a bunch of teams that are capable. U of H just happens to be one of them.
100%. I think that's a great point. And they showed another step towards that. The number four in the nation, I imagine, continuing to climb, University of Houston Cougars. All right, this is an interesting thing, and this allows us to get into one of those bags that we like, where we're just talking about some of the kind of structural things in sports. And in this one, it's in the NBA. The Celtics seem to be closing in on a potential sale. And it seems like, Lopez, you're seeing a potential valuation on the deal?
Yeah, I saw it this morning. I guess the owner...
Wick Grusbeck.
Grusbeck. I couldn't remember
his name. Why do I know that? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, Wick Grusbeck, who I think he decided to put this thing up for sale after the final.
And it was kind of dragging, but seems to be gaining momentum. They were asking for $6 million.
$6 million.
Hey, man. $6 million. Hey, we should get our six.
Lopez got that in the bank.
I know some people.
Yeah.
Hey, I got ten grand on it.
$6 billion.
Yo, Cal, you up? Let me hold something.
They feel like he's confident it's going to be able to be sold, and $5.5 billion is it. Now, this is where it gets interesting, because that $5.5 billion. You know, we've been hearing about NBA expansion, not WNBA, NBA expansion for a while now, and it's been dragging. And the reason, and this is a really interesting story that I read, like the reason that it hasn't happened is because they're waiting on the Celtics sale, because that $5.5 billion, all of a sudden, NBA owners are going to say, now we know what the franchise fee is going to be, you know, for new franchises. And so once this happens, it's very much, you know, a given. It's being considered, like, it's going to happen fast for namely Seattle and Las Vegas. And the franchise fees are going to be in that area as well. I don't want NBA expansion as much as I want Las Vegas and Seattle to have teams. that's going to water it down even more than ever before.
You think so? Like,
yes.
Well, I mean, ever yes, before. There's just going to be, the talent is going to be dispersed. So yeah, in that way. I do wonder if we've gotten teams that are just too good all the way around, and like in a somewhat counterintuitive way, where teams just have so much talent that it makes it so that people don't find the same interest in some of these games, where if you have this talent spread out even more, if that makes a little bit more dynamism in the way
so many bad teams.
Yeah, there are
so many bad teams.
But there are so many bad teams, but I also think you've got, and this is going to be disrespectful to some markets, but you got some markets that are, I think, less inspiring than mm-hmm. Seattle or Las Vegas. Like, if there was a way to relocate instead sure. of expand,
I'm good with that.
Talking about different things there, but like expansion, you know, has that risk of watering down a little.
Yeah,
but
what does Sacramento do to you?
And that's what I'm saying. Like, Sacramento and
hell, know, Charlotte, the last Charlotte, team that expanded.
Yeah, I mean, honestly,
you realize it's been 21 years.
Yes.
Yeah.
Charlotte's a decent market.
It's a basketball market. I don't know if it's an NBA market.
Yeah.
That is a fair point.
I mean, yeah. I mean, Oklahoma City is a fine market, but it's yeah. like, man, it's great for them, but like you'd love much more the idea, hey, mm-hmm. I could go see my team play in Seattle yeah. or I could see my team play in Las Vegas, you know, that type of thing. So, like, I think there are ways to, you know, make it palpable because of those markets. Like, if you mm-hmm. go to the right places, and they can, again, to Reggie's point, disperse the talent like that.
Yeah, I'm interested in that. I know that you're like, you're on, I think you're right in some regards mm-hmm. on like, hey, you set the valuation of the team and now we start going. I do wonder how readily they want to jump into expansion. But I guess when you jump into expansion, one thing about it, when we start talking about the way to make money, one, clearly franchising fees, but then yeah. also two, when you add more inventory, what does that do? Mm-hmm. These TV money goes up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
More TV money.
Adam Silver, he's repeatedly talked about it over the last 2-3 years. And now it seems like there's going to be some more momentum, and I don't know.
I mean, they could obviously stand to work on and correct some of the things that are wrong with the brand and that have mm-hmm. gone south with them over the last 15 years or so before they start talking about expansion or as mm-hmm. they think about expansion. Like, how do we actually find a way to promise a better product yeah. as we try to give you more of it?
And I think that ends up complicating even further the conversations that have been
yes.
circling yeah. all the way around the NBA. Not enough time to dig into that just now and what's popping, but appreciate you, B. Scott, hanging out with us all hour long. It is always a pleasure, my man.
That was fun, man.
It was fun. I'm surprised that we didn't talk any Rockets in that. They play the Bucks tonight.
I'll be there.
Okay, very good.
Oh, good.
Very yeah. good.
So, you know, H-Town Hoops podcast later in the week. Y'all know Spo is out mm-hmm. in Florida, so we're going to do that probably. We'll probably record Thursday more than likely. But check out for that in your podcast feed later in the week, H-Town Hoops podcast.
There you go. Wherever you get your podcast for free. Huh, is that
Zach Top?
Is that Zach Top out here?
I acted like I knew it. Oh, yeah, I listen to this all the time. Yeah, no, I yeah. don't, but I didn't know that was Zach Top.
That's some Zach Top. And if you want to see Zach Top on the dime of Odyssey, yeah, be caller number 6 right now. Caller number 6 to 713-572-4610. We'll win a 4-pack of tickets to see Zach Top at the Houston Livestock Show.
This actually sounds all right.
Yeah.
What you mean,
old
all
school.
Right?
It's man, a I like school.
This.
Yeah.
This is good.
Yeah.
Like, this is good.
Yeah.
We don't have to. We don't
you
have
like
to
that old school,
this
old school
is good.
Country. Yeah.
So, yeah, caller number 4 right now. Sorry, 6 rather. Wednesday 4-pack. 713-572-4610. All right. Somebody said, I'll play for them expansion teams.
Yeah.
Me
you
too,
may.
Dog.
You may.
Me too. I'll play for the 5 minutes before my knee explodes.
Y'all hiring?
Yeah, exactly. All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us. Coming up next, it is Combine Week. Lopez is knee deep mm-hmm. in Combine things. And so he wants to go. He wants to ask, knowing what we know right now, how would you answer these various NFL draft and combine questions that he has for us? Dig in. 713-572-4610. We'll answer those next. But you know I never lie.